to the Wedding 101 podcast. Hello, my name is David Rothstein. This program was designed to be a helpful resource for both brides and grooms as well as wedding professionals. It was created to give listeners real insights from the top wedding professionals in the nation. Each new show features a wedding professional from a different aspect of wedding planning: photographers, caterers, wedding planners, florists, venues, and many more. These interviews will give you lots of great ideas about how to get the best results for your wedding. Wedding vendors can also learn from fellow wedding professionals. If you have an idea for a guest, please let us know, and we hope you enjoy today's podcast. Our special guest today is Heather Vickery. She's the owner and event director of Greatest Expectations. And before we get started with our podcast interview with her, let me tell you a little bit about Heather. Heather's background in event design, marketing, hotel sales, catering, and nonprofit event management gives her unparalleled experience in weddings and event planning. 15 years ago, she channeled her experience into her own event planning business, Greatest Expectations, which has now blossomed into one of the Chicago's most celebrated event planning and design firms. The Knot voted Heather and her team Best of Weddings in 2009, 2010, and 2011. And for the past 5 years, she's won Couples Choice Award, and she is a wish granter for the Wish Upon a Wedding organization and was recently awarded their prestigious Shining Star Award. Heather also enjoys her involvement at the Gay Wedding Institute, GWI, as a trainer and event producer. Heather's work has been featured in the following prestigious print magazines, blog, and news media sites such as Chicago Social Brides, Style Me Pretty, Chicago Style Weddings, Windy City Times, ABC7, WGN, CBS, and many more. And we are thrilled to have Heather on the show.
Hi, David. How are you?
Great, and thanks for being here. And today, we're going to talk about a very important word for any type of wedding planning, which is authenticity. And so just to get started, maybe you can give us your definition of what authenticity is.
Right. So authenticity, in my opinion, my perspective, is really making sure that you are representing who you are at your core in all of the things that you participate in. So for me, it's something I do through every single outlet in my life. But when it comes to wedding planning, I think it's especially key. You want your guests to walk into your wedding and go, holy cow, this is so you. This is so the couple, without question, because every aspect of it has been touched with things that are authentic to who you are as a person and who you are as a couple.
And it's really a balance between some people really get caught up in all the hottest trends and like look what Kim Kardashian's doing or or what the Knot or a lot of these other magazines are doing. And how do you balance that with your ability to kind of do what's right for you?
Right. That's a great question. I tell every couple that walks in my door that I only have one wedding planning rule. And that one wedding planning rule is that there are no rules. You don't have to follow any guideline. Yes, there are traditions. Yes, there are etiquettes. And if you like them, if they're meaningful to you, by all means, use them. And if they're not, get rid of them. No big deal. You don't have to walk down the aisle a certain way. You don't have to have a program if you don't want to. You don't have to have a cake or a first dance if you don't want to. If you love these traditions and they're powerful, they're wonderful. But you can just do anything, and you can infuse authenticity literally in every aspect of your wedding.
Would you advise a couple before they even start doing anything? They get engaged, and before they even go and look at venues or anything like that, to really sit down and have an actual like heart-to-heart, you know, what's important to you, how do we kind of envision? So you get kind of a shared vision of things. Is that really important, or is it just kind of let's get started and then we'll...
I do think that's really important, although sometimes that happens organically through the process. Not to self-plug a planner, but what I really think is the first thing they should do is hire a planner, because what I do and what we're able to do is sit down with a couple and ask the right questions to pull out what's going to make their event specifically authentic, and also to merge the two different personalities. Obviously, they're a couple. We want to represent them as a couple and still be true to who they are as individual people. And if they come to me first, then we can definitely nail all of that right up front, and I can help put the pieces together so that it produces the perfect authentic event.
What if they're, because we've been with our music company, we've been around 17 years, so we've seen a lot of different personalities, different age group, ethnicities, What if people have really kind of polar opposites, which works in terms of the relationship, the yin and yang thing, but what do you, how do you kind of find that balance? Are you kind of a referee? Are you a translator?
All those things in between. Okay. All of them. Definitely. Sometimes it feels like I'm a therapist. It often feels like I'm a translator. I'm not typically a referee because they love each other and they want to support each other. Mm-hmm. We talk a lot about give and take. Which one of you cares more about this one thing? Who's willing to bend? So often I find in the color scheme, in the design, I had two brides several years ago with complete polar visual concepts. And we were challenged to bring, one of them loved pinks and purples, and one of them loved blues and greens. We're like, wow, we're going to have like a 80s fusion right. extravaganza on our hands here.
Right.
And yet they wanted it to be elegant and feminine and, you know, all of these things. And they literally, until the moment they walked in, they kind of just blind faith believed in me from a design perspective. Mm-hmm. And when they walked in, they were like, I can't believe you've done this. This is, you can see them on my website. But yeah, so we just sort of massage it. Building the conversation, and I am challenged, and I love the challenge to come up with creative ways to visually produce an authentic vision that complements both personalities. But it doesn't just have to be design.
Yeah, and there's so many different aspects to planning, so many different decisions.
Yeah.
I've also heard it where some people will say, like, I know you're a big music lover, so I'll let you kind of handle the music.
For sure.
I'll take care of the flowers, some of the decor stuff. And so is that maybe another way of kind of divide and conquer?
Yeah. Like I said, it's give and take. And what does matter more to one person? Where, mm-hmm. where can you let go?
Right.
Often, you know, somebody cares a lot about sweets. And so they'll have sort of final say on the cake or desserts. And somebody else cares more about music. That happens a lot with music. I find many of my clients sort of have one person in the couple that gets to make the final decision with music. Do you find that?
Yeah, absolutely. It does tend to go. And then once you get the band per se, then within that,
that's
they can
right.
talk about different songs or different styles
exactly.
of music.
Exactly, yeah.
So there's so many different resources that are out there, like Pinterest and Etsy and certainly Facebook. Everybody's got different ideas. Do you think those types of things are helpful, or do they tend to kind of overwhelm people with like, look at all these other options? Do you think it's, how do you find that balance?
I think depending on the person, it could do both of those things. I happen to love those sites as design and conceptual inspiration. I think it's a great way to look through and filter and find things that you're attracted to. Mm-hmm. I don't want to reproduce or copy anything because I like each wedding to be unique and authentic.
Right.
So I love my clients to make a Pinterest board, and then we talk about what that inspires and creates, the things that they like. Etsy is a phenomenal resource. DIY stuff is tricky. It's nearly impossible to actually reproduce things
yes.
like that. It's also not cheap. People think DIY means it's going to be inexpensive. It's not inexpensive, and it takes a tremendous amount of time. So I've had some clients who want to do some DIY things. Recently, I had a bride who embossed all of her escort cards by hand.
Wow.
But she did. I was like, you know you're crazy, right? She knew she was crazy, but that she wanted something that had her own authentic touch to it. So you sort of have to filter through.
Yeah,
what matters.
The DIY movement is a very interesting thing. I actually came up with a term that you might enjoy called TIY, think it yourself.
Yeah, I like that.
Then you hire a professional to actually execute it for you.
Exactly. Well, we've always said on the planner side, don't do it yourself, hire a planner.
Yeah, totally. Because, yeah. Hey, look, I made my own shirt. And it's like, oh, you know,
That's
you know,
good.
One sleeve's too long. Hey, I even like wedding vendors, I built my own website and it looks god awful. Congratulations, you know. And there's just certain things. If you happen to have like a real interest, or you've studied it a bit, or if you actually have a certain talent for something, you know, you can, in small things, I think you can do that.
Absolutely.
But there's a reason why you don't have your mom cooking the meal and you don't have,
yes.
you know, there's just silly things that, if you want to, I say, express yourself through the talents of other people who know what they're doing.
Absolutely.
And it takes 10 times as long to do it.
Without
a
doubt.
And You know,
Without a doubt.
So I just think you have to be careful with that stuff.
Yeah. Putting together the right creative team is a real talent. A planner can help you with that. But if you don't have a planner, be careful. Take some time. Really ask those questions. This really does play into the authenticity. You want to make sure all of the players work well together and they complement each other and gel well. And everybody does their job just a tiny bit better if the team around them lifts them up.
And what can vendors do to help encourage people to be more creative and to not to get too caught up in just following the trends?
Absolutely. I work with a really phenomenal set of vendors, and you're incredibly talented. Just don't pigeonhole your clients. Don't put them in a box. Mm-hmm. If they don't want to be in a box. So ask open-ended questions instead of perhaps, especially if you do any same-sex weddings, mm-hmm. instead of saying, will there be a father-daughter dance? You know, maybe there's not a daughter, or will you, you know, or mother, sure. son, you know, maybe they're not, families aren't supportive. You just don't know what you're getting yourself into.
Right.
And I think this is the same for any couple, gay or straight. Open-ended questions, non-assumptive questions, that helps people come to you with their own level of authenticity. If you've mm-hmm. already decided for them that they're going to do X, Y, and Z, they don't quite know how to wiggle their way back out of that box.
Yeah, and especially if someone's been doing it for over 10, 15, 20 years, you tend to be like, okay, this is going to be this yeah. age group. They want this. It's a big... And sometimes it's the exact opposite.
Absolutely.
And I've played for some older couples that are just complete dancing maniacs.
That's right.
And I've played for people in their early 20s that are just a little bit more conservative and
for
stuff.
Sure. Yeah.
So I think it's more interesting, and I think you... As vendors, we can keep more enthusiasm going if we're more open-minded.
That's right.
To be like, here's a blank canvas. Let's see what we can all collectively create mm-hmm. together rather than, you know, just going yes. through the same assumptive...
Exactly. I'm on a mission to mm-hmm. educate wedding professionals to let go of assumptions and ask open-ended questions and just sort of see where that creative process takes
you. It's certainly
you.
A lot more interesting.
Oh, yeah.
It? Yeah. So you've got a couple, they've got a certain vision for the wedding. What if that vision is, how do you balance that with making sure that you've gotten things that are going to accommodate all your guests there
right.
too? So if, let's say the couple is vegan, right? And they're all about vegan.
Well, that's a good example.
I mean, and then, you know, what if you got Uncle Larry there, who's kind of a meat and potatoes kind of guy from Arkansas, and he's like, how you doing, you know? And you're like, here's your vegan meal. How do you balance yeah. those types of, or you're big fans of country music, and you want to have all country music, but... You know, majority of your guests may not be 100% on board. How do you find that balance?
That's definitely a tricky one. Most clients I find that have specific dietary restrictions are pretty willing to have those things just for themselves and serve everything else to other people. Not always, though. I have had a vegan client who absolutely insisted everyone else eat vegan food. Which is really challenging because that's not what most people want to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so then the challenge is on me to find a catering company that's going to do vegan like you've never had vegan before. And on some level, in order to really be authentic, I kind of say, who cares what your guests really want? Like, as long as you're actually doing what you're doing really well and making sure you're providing the very best of it, I think it's a great opportunity to expose your guests to something they may not otherwise know anything about.
Plus, you're saying this is who we are.
This is who we are.
That's what it all
And
comes
you love
back
us,
to.
And so you're going to love this. But, I mean, don't do it poorly. Do it right. If mm-hmm. you're going to play all country music, make sure the band really can play country music. Or the DJ, you know, like,
yes.
know what you're doing. Make sure it's good. If it's vegan food, it better be great. I actually have an Indian fusion wedding coming up in August. And they're having an American ceremony one night and a big Indian celebration the next day. And he is vegan and her family is not. And we're being very careful talking about being authentic and merging those. You know, it's a big risk for his family and friends to even show up to an event that meat is being served at. So we're serving meat, but we're vegan with everything else. And so that's our compromise. The cake, there is a cake baker here in Chicago. I'm not sure if we can plug people, but there's one.
Sure you can.
Yeah, Alicia Root. Her vegan cake is absolutely spectacular.
Okay.
And also her gluten-free. I have a gluten-free cake coming up as well. And so when I client comes to me, and that's part of why you hire a talented, well-educated planner, I know right who to go for the different needs. And they, no one will know the difference. We're serving a completely gluten-free and vegan cake at these particular weddings. The guests are not going to know. They're going to love it.
Okay. Need-to-know basis, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I like that idea. Yeah. What do you do if parents are involved and you have sometimes the dynamics of parents? Well, we're paying for this and we're going to have it, you know, this is the way it was and you're going to wear that powder blue tuxedo and like it, you know. I mean, hopefully that won't be the case. But if they do feel like they need to express themselves through, you know, because they're writing the check, how do you kind of appease them and make sure you're taking care of the bride and groom? And
it's a tough question. And I'm very thankful that I've seen that less and less through the years, but maybe because most of my clients are young professionals, and while they may have their parents paying for things, they're sort of well-established and having their own opinion. I find it's younger clients who are sort of fresh from the nest,
right,
whose parents are super hands-on in that particular way. I will have a conversation with parents about what's really important to them, what their key factors are, and I will sort of serve as mediator in that particular scenario. And then we'll be very honest about making sure, don't you want to make sure that your child has this experience for themselves? You got married and that was wonderful for you, and now it's their turn to express themselves. Often, quite frankly, I can pull the experienced planner string. It's all in the spin, David.
Right, sure.
So if the client says to me, my mom really wants this and I really don't, then I can say, oh goodness, yeah, I've tried that before and that doesn't work well, or here's why this won't work with the layout we have planned. And then most often parents will say, well, if Heather thinks that we shouldn't do that, then that's fine.
So, good, I see. So yeah. That's the way to kind of
creative framing.
What if a couple, on the other hand, a couple comes to you and they come up with this, you know, idea they want to have a unicorn themed wedding and they
want
to have
find me a horse. I want that client.
A horse with a, you know, or something that was maybe you, I'm sure you probably handle that, but something that, you know, physically, you know, as much as you'd like to change the laws of physics, you just cannot. Cannot physically, or there's restrictions with the venue, and you can't come do a zip line to your ceremony or something. I don't know. But something that's just, you know what? It's just really not a good idea. Something like a receiving line.
Oh, you're right. You went from like crazy extreme zip lining and unicorns to a receiving line.
I mean, to things that are like.
There's a receiving line. A terrible idea.
Terrible idea, yeah. And you don't want to be like, well, that's just a ridiculous idea.
I can put a really nice, again, I'm kind of a master at reframing. I even coach people on reframing. So, let's use the receiving line as an example.
Yes.
We talk about what top priorities are, and do you really want your guest experience to be standing in line for 45 minutes to congratulate you? Are you willing to go around during dinner and visit the tables and chat with people? I give them alternatives and reasons why this doesn't seem to fit. About once every 5 years, someone, usually their parents, absolutely insist on a receiving line. And if that's going to happen, then sometimes we say, okay, you know what? We're just going to make this work. It's just going to be what it is. And sometimes there are things you can't change and can't avoid. And you just have to breathe through it and move on and focus on something that you really love about it.
And sometimes we have the advantage because we've been doing this for 17 years or so, and they've never done this before. So it's hard for them to kind of envision certain things. So sometimes I'll use an analogy like somebody leaving an airplane. If you're having a conversation with the stewardess about how much you enjoyed the chicken sandwich you had.
Yeah, that's right. Be
quick.
The
pretzels were really, you know, a little too salty and stuff like that. And all those people are standing in line.
That's a great analogy.
You know, and you, okay, say something like, okay, we'll do that, but we need to add an extra hour to the, is that going to be okay?
Absolutely.
We'll just add an extra. And then kind of see,
an hour?
That's where at times where we can step in, I think, and let them kind of ultimately make the decision, but give them better information.
Absolutely. So much a part of my job is educating the clients because they don't know in most cases. They've not done this before, and they can't see the big picture or all the little moving parts that make everything come together. It appears to be effortless when you're on site. So we do have to educate them. 100%.
And I think couples should also, you know, the people that you've hired are experts. And the reason you've hired them is because they do have a lot of experience.
Yeah.
So they're not just another friend who just has an opinion you know, the BFF or some random, you know, girl they went to high school with on Facebook.
Hope not.
Right, exactly. I mean, people do silly stuff like that, but, you know, I think if you trust you hire and hire who you trust, you're going to get much better results in terms of, you know.
Well, and I think that's really key if you want to circle back to authenticity a little bit. Again, and getting your ducks in a row with a planner, which, you know, find one. It's a really personal job. You need to find a planner that you really connect with and like and trust and believe that they are going to bring your authentic vision to reality. But if you do that first and you trust them, then they have the opportunity to connect you with an entire creative team that also will have this forefront in their mind, creating your own unique, authentic vision, because they know. They know, you know, somebody says to me, I need X, Y, and Z from a band. I go, David's your guy, right? I know which one it is. And if it's not, if they need all country music, maybe David's not your guy.
Well, it depends what country.
Right?
That's a very specific thought people need to...
Depends on what country.
Exactly.
It's a great response. But, right, I mean, if somebody comes to me, like I said before, for a particular kind of cake, I know where to take it. If they want... gorgeous custom designed letterpress invitations, I know where to take them. If invitations aren't top of their priority list, but they still want them to be nice, I know where to take them. So,
but resources, yeah,
exactly,
absolutely.
Yeah.
So, what do you do with a couple has now decided that they're getting married, they want to hire a wedding planner, they're going through people's websites, and ultimately meeting with people? How do they decide? You know, which wedding planner is going to be able to accommodate their specific needs? What are some of the telltale signs that they should be looking for someone that has and more of an open mind rather than just, okay, I'm going to pat you on your head and tell you what your wedding's going to be like?
Right, right. You know, I don't know that there are telltale signs, but I do think people are smart and they can see through a lot of that and they can connect. Go with your gut. I do believe in that. I always hope anybody who comes in to sit down with me walks out feeling like this girl totally gets it and she's going to make my dream come true. And if you don't feel that way, then you need to move on to the next person because it doesn't do any of us any good. So, I mean, if somebody's sort of patting you on your head and placating you, can't you see through that? I think clients can see through
that, too.
Right,
if they get too caught up in their own achievements and all the stuff they've done.
Good question asking. I mean, I think to actually give your question an answer, planners... should ask really good questions in an opening consult and lead the clients in sharing what they want. You sort of have to uncover what's underneath all of the excitement up front so that you can really give them this authentic vision.
And how has Facebook and some of the other sites, social media, had an influence on weddings, would you say?
Oh, social media. I was just having this conversation yesterday. It's gorgeous. It's beautiful. It's fun. It's fantasy land, right? Mm-hmm. We put our best of the best pictures out there. We put the things that took us like 10 hours to set up. You know, it's you see the creme de la creme on Instagram, and everybody wants this big, beautiful vision. I shouldn't say everybody, but a lot of people, they come to you, I saw this thing. And then we have to educate them. And we have to manage expectations. You can absolutely have this, but you should know this particular wedding cost $250,000. Like, you know, like,
sure,
whatever. Certainly not all, but that's our job. We can't, you can't have a client come in with a $50,000 budget who wants, you know, something that spent $90,000 in decor. You have to say, that's not going to work, but what did you like about this? What about this attracted you? Let's come up with something that is within your budget that is authentic to what you're looking for, that's inspired by this other piece. So social media is really fun, but it is not reality.
Mm-hmm.
I even talk to other planners who say, oh, I feel like I'm not good enough or I'm not producing things that are awesome enough because so-and-so has this on Instagram and so has this on Facebook. And I said, do you think that's what every single bit of their work is like?
Well,
no.
Yeah. My goal in life is to be the person I am on Facebook.
Right? Right.
I mean, if you could live up to those types of expectations.
Yeah, right.
And I think people do get caught up in, and I think a lot of wedding vendors I hear are really upset about like Pinterest because they'll show some incredible, elaborate thing, and I want that. And there's no association to the value or the cost of that goes into creating that.
Not at all.
So that would be, can you imagine if Pinterest had like a price tag for each of the photographs?
That would be fun.
Wouldn't that make it a little bit easier?
Well, then there's somehow they do some sort of crazy photoshopping and there's a chandelier hanging in the middle of an empty wooded field. Like you can't hang a chandelier from the air. That's not possible. You can't do that. But, you know, it doesn't make me angry. I just tell clients right off the bat, social media is inspiration. And if you take it as inspiration and not as replication, it can be lovely.
Yeah, it's all how you use it, right?
That's right.
It's all how you kind of, your associations with it. I think that it can be a lot of fun.
It can be. Yeah, yeah, it can be a lot of fun.
And good ways to connect with a lot of people and all kinds of...
Great ways to connect. It's working. I know people who are booking business off of Instagram and Pinterest. Legit. Like, it's amazing. So it totally works. It's a great way to connect with people.
What are some of the mistakes that you feel couples make in terms of not making their wedding as authentic as possible? And how can they maybe solve that?
I think they listen to too many voices and they compromise on things that take away their authenticity. You don't have to listen to everyone's opinion. I mean, you can listen to it. You don't have to absorb it. It doesn't matter. They can think what they want to think. In the end, if it's powerful to you, if it makes you feel passionate, if it connects to who you are, go with that. I spoke with a client the other day and they love music. They collect old records and they want to use old records as their centerpieces. And that's totally weird and out of the box. It's fun and it's creative and unique. And people are like, you can't do that. It's not flowers. Well, yes, you can. You can do anything you want. So just filter out all the other voices and you don't have to take it. You don't have to absorb what everybody else wants.
And I think that's why people that you've been friends with for 10, 20 years are that way, because maybe you're a bad Pillow Parker or you show up late, whatever, but you're you.
Yeah.
And we just have to remember that simple mantra.
Did you see me parking?
No, I did see that, yes. I know you bumped into my car. Which
I did not.
Which
I
we're
going
to have to talk about later, by the way.
I did not bump into David's car, America.
Lawsuit.com. No, no, she's an excellent driver. Excellent driver. But just be yourself. You know,
yeah.
And I've seen some really crazy things. We've played some crazy songs that we'll never, ever play again. We just did a wedding about a month ago. We learned 7 songs by Phish.
Wow.
Likely, we'll never play it again. But it was perfect for that couple. And they absolutely loved it. And
probably a great challenge for you and the band.
It was fun. It was. Yeah. And 2 of the songs are for the ceremony, too.
I love that.
Which
I
was
really,
really unique.
That is a really special and unique way to insert authenticity into your whole wedding. And listen, folks, the ceremony is actually what it's all about. You want a great party, you want a great reception, but put your heart and soul into your ceremony. Mm-hmm. People will connect with that. And music is such a brilliant, beautiful way to do that. I had a bride walk down to an instrumental version of White Wedding once. It was so cool. She was kind of a rocker bride. She was kind of a funky chick. And it sounded romantic and gorgeous, and what we all knew, it was edgy and fun. And I mean, have fun with it every chance you get. Have fun with it.
And we have access to more options than ever.
Absolutely.
So embrace everything, and I think look around your house and kind of get a sense for what you're really all about. And
that's what I was going to say. Think about what you like to do as a couple. Where do you like to go to eat? What kind of things do you do in your free time? And sort of infuse those things into your wedding. That's how to make it authentic.
And one of the things that we do with our music company is we have them fill out a form called the Tell Us More About You form, which is like how you met, where your families are from, what do you like to do for fun, what kind of work you do. And then we create these one-of-a-kind gifts. Like we had a couple that she owns a shoe store and he's a carpenter. So we got them wooden shoes from Holland, Michigan.
Fun.
You know, the guest signed. And what it does for me as a vendor, it helps me feel, oh, it's Bob and Julie's wedding and not just a date on our calendar.
That's right.
And they get so much more out of it. It helps their guests kind of get more involved in the wedding. And anything that helps them express who they are is always a good thing.
Like I said in the beginning of the interview, you want your guests to walk in and say, oh, this is so Bob and Julie. 100%. If I didn't know it was their wedding, I would still know it's their wedding. And that's your ultimate goal.
Yeah. And do you have any last minute tips for being the most authentic as you can?
Yeah. Don't compromise on it. Like, it's really okay. There aren't any rules. Nobody gets to be in charge of it but you. You're completely in the driver's seat there. And I'd say don't compromise on it.
And hire the best vendors who are going to be open-minded and flexible to help you get what you really want.
Ask good questions of your vendors and make sure that they're going to be supportive of your creative endeavors.
Terrific, terrific. Well, if you are looking for a great wedding planner for your special day, be sure to get a hold of Heather. You can reach her directly at 312-994-2321. That's 312-994-2321. And her website is greatestexpectations.com. And you can email her, heather@greatestexpectations.com. And we'd like to thank Heather Vickery for being such a fantastic and entertaining and authentic guest in our program.
Thanks, David. It was a pleasure to be here.
And for all of you out there, we want to wish you an absolutely authentic, fun, organized, great wedding that's going to be truly about who you are as a couple. And if by chance you do need some great music, you can take a look at our website, which is drsmusic.com, and find out about our music company. There's also all the other podcasts and radio show interviews that we've done there. So take a look at that. Thanks so much to Heather and to all of you for listening. Ooh, about the show.